Our topic tonight is about love and caring, but it's also about the necessary hate that has to go along with that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, as Michael read for us, you see, be followers of God, walk in love. That's what God wants us to do, to walk in love, to exercise and to practice love. And that's what you do when you walk in something. And that love is a love for God who first loved us, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is there an example there for us? Yes. Who should we love? We should love everybody. Just the good people? No, the sinners also. This is the example that God gave to us. And we are the people, these are the people for whom Jesus died. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is what we are supposed to do. If we love Jesus, keep his commandments. And he says that we also are to love our fellow men. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. But that love for God also requires that we hate. Well, Ed, are you saying, where'd you come up with that one? And let's go see here. In Psalm chapter 97 and 10, what does it say? Ye that love the Lord, what? Hate evil. You know, we talk oftentimes about love and such things, but the Lord says we need to hate. He hates. In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, do I hate? You know, this is what God's saying. And if we're God's children, what are we supposed to be like? Supposed to be like him. Supposed to have these feelings. All these good things come from God. Well, he's not talking about, you know, money and food and cars and things. He's talking about the peace and the mercy and the way of righteousness, the good things that we are supposed to do. Are these good things also that come from God? Yet we never talk, or we talk very little, about hate. But I think we need to hate more. Now, does that disturb you? Do you think it's wrong for Christians ever to hate? Well, carefully think about this lesson. Consider this lesson, because you're going to find out God says hate is essential to our salvation. Now, this should get our attention. If we don't hate as the Lord has told us, then verily it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for us to enter heaven. And the Lord told us this through the Apostle Jude. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, a key word here is compassion. You know, our feeling of kindness and mercy towards others. And this is what God wants us to have towards each other, compassion. But nonetheless, okay, we have to, you know, hate things too, like that garment. Now, we must have this compassion. If we really care about others, will we want them to be hurt? No. If we care about someone, we don't want them to be hurt. And if we really love, how then will we feel about the things which hurt others? Well, we should hate those things. You know, those things which hate others, which hurt others, you know, because we don't want them to be hurt. And what is it that really hurts people? What's more hurtful than sin? You know, sin is the one human ailment. There's lots of ailments we have. The Ebola virus, you know, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, cholera, polio, different things like that. Some of them are very, very deadly, even AIDS, but they're not 100% deadly. But guess what sin is? Sin, absolutely guaranteed, 100% fatal to all that have it. But you know, sin is also the most 100% easily treatable ailment that people have. It can all be treated with the Word of God. And what's in the success rate with the Word of God for people that believe it and are obedient to it is 100%. And it is that Word of God that we need to have. In Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, By the way, all these scriptures have been printed in our sheets out there in the foyer, if you'd like them. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus here, makes bread of these stones? And what did Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Well, how is it that we're supposed to live? Well, we live in that same way. It's not like we sit here and chomp, 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 eating our Bibles. But he's talking about spiritual living. That by eating and taking of these words, we'll be made stronger. We'll be able to resist, the things that will take us away from God. But that gospel is powerful. It's 100% effective to all, but it has to what? It has to get to them. Just like people have to go and get a flu shot if they want one. People have to get the gospel. And that's the job of the church, to get it out there. And we must care enough about people to pull them from the fire. Is that applicable here? Is there a fire waiting for people that don't obey the gospel? Yes, there is. Remember, having compassion on people, pulling them from the fire? That's what we need to do. Do we have that stronger reaction to sin that we see somebody walk? If we saw somebody walking towards a cliff or an open manhole in the street, what would we do? Well, we'd stop them and say, wait, don't do that. But where is everybody walking for that hasn't, obeyed the gospel? Well, they're walking to death. They're walking into that fire. I was burning leaves one day in my backyard in a pit, and David was about 5 or 6, my son. And he was riding his bicycle around in the backyard, and as boys do, he managed to fall into the fire. Now, the next thing we both knew was him flying out of that, and I had stripped his coat off because it was some flimsy thing and it was burning too. So, he was out of there. And we must treat sin the same way. We must hate it and abhor it so much that without thinking, we thrust it from ourselves and we reach out to others to snatch them from it, keep them from it. And this is essential for our salvation that we do this. We must hate sin. We must abhor evil. It's not like, that's sin. I'm doing right. I don't care what else is going on. No, we have to hate it because it's hurting others. In Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. What's that dissimulation mean? It means faking it. Let love be without faking it. I think we can all understand that there. Acting differently than we should. And love will abhor evil for what it does to people. How can it not? How can love not hate evil? Isn't that what he's saying there? Abhor that which is evil? Let love be without faking it? He wants us to do that for love's sake. God pointed out that our love should be like that. Are we dissimulating? Are we faking it? Are we saying we love God, but what? Not hating sin? We can say that, but it doesn't make it so, does it? We can say we love God, but what does God say? I hate sin. How should we be? Well, if we're not like that, then, just saying we love God isn't enough. If we are dissimulating, if we're faking it, then we aren't the children of God because God hates sin. Jesus told us, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. In Revelation, remember, he's talking to the church at Ephesus in this particular case, saying, I've got somewhat against you, this and that, you've left your first love, but you got this thing, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, is he saying I hate the Nicolaitans? No. He was saying he hated the deeds, the sins which they did. This is what Jesus hated. That's what the Ephesians hated. God commended them for this. God cannot have sin in his presence. And if we have sin, he will not, he cannot, you know, accept us or receive us. You know, this is of such paramount, I mean, right at the tippity-top importance, that Jesus had to die in order for us to be cleansed of our sins. There's no other way. And it's a pretty drastic way. But that's how important, you know, sin was, that Jesus died for us. And sin necessitated Christ's cruel death on that cross. Can we then think so little of sin so as not to hate it? Hate sin required what? Jesus to die on the cross? Oh, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. He was going to do that anyway. No. You know, we have to hate that sin that required that. Now, here's the deadly part. In Hebrews 3:12-14, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." Exhort one another daily. Exhort about what? Yeah. Brush your hair? Shine your shoes? Yeah. Put on a good shirt? No, that's not the exhortation he's talking about. He tells us right there, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to warn our brothers and sisters of what? Of sin. You know, when we see it in there, is sin deceitful? Sure. Oftentimes, can we see the sin in our life? No. Why? Well, we're enjoying it too much. But what can others see? Well, they might very well see that sin in our life. What do they need to do about that? Do they care about you? What will they do? Well, they'll exhort you. They'll try and get you out of that. You know, if we don't hate sin and abhor evil as God wants, then we'll find ourselves tolerating sin in our brothers and sisters, not hating the garment spotted by the flesh. And is that okay? Do we really love our brothers and sisters if we let them go like that? You know, Mama had a little boy and he said, "Sure, go play on the interstate. That's all right." That wouldn't be a good mama, would it? And then what will we find if we're accepting sin in our brothers and sisters because, well, it's too hard to say something to them. You know, they're going to get offended. You know, they're not going to talk to me anymore. You know, they're going to snub me. Well, what's going to happen to ourselves? Pretty soon we'll find ourselves accepting sin where? In our own selves. And that's why the Lord warned us here in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Leave them be. Walk away." No, it says, "Rather reprove them." Don't be in fellowship, but reprove them. Tell them it's the wrong. And this is the deceitfulness of sin. You know, it grows like a cancer. It beguiles. It deceives. And it must be treated quickly while it's called today. You know, sin will keep us from God in Christ. We won't be partakers of Christ unless what? We make it to the end without sin. Isn't that what that scripture said right there? If... If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, and we have to hold on to that. Okay. And this is summarized here in 1 John verse 1, chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's great. That gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives us confidence that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us if we do what? If we confess them. But what if we don't know about them? And a lot of times we know we're doing wrong, but we don't really want to say anything about it to ourselves. We, you know, fool ourselves. We rationalize things and such like that. What do our brothers and sisters need to do? Well, I need to point these things out to us. We need to point them out to others so that others won't be deceived here. Remember, it said the sin is deceitful. It's guile. You know, if we say we have no sin, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. We what? Deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, we need to be brought to the truth. Someone needs to exhort us. So, in fact, we'll confess these sins, to be forgiven of them. You know, we might say we have no sin, but that's the deceitfulness of sin talking, and that's why it must be pointed out to us. Is it hard for us to know things about ourselves? It's hard. God told us that in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who does know our hearts? God does. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You know, we look into Scripture, and the Scripture is like a mirror, and it reflects and shows us what our actions are like. We compare ourselves, you know, to what we're doing to what the Word of God says, and His truth shows us what's wrong. But we need to go to Him. You know, what if we go to our friends? What if we say, well, everybody else is doing it? All them can't go be going to the bad place. Wrong. You know, how many survived the flood in Noah's day? I mean, how many people were in the world? Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. Yet how many made it? Eight. Eight survived. You know, He's shown us that He will do this. You know, why do people say, oh, God wouldn't really do that? Okay. You know, we need to know these things. You know, we might say if our sin is pointed out to us by those who hate sin enough and have compassion enough to tell us, then what? Then we can confess our sins and be forgiven. Then we can have that hope still of eternal life. But if we tolerate sin, not hating it vehemently as God does, then guess what? We will die. And our brothers and sisters will die. And it will be our fault for not warning them. You know, can we just watch out for number one and make sure number one gets there? You know, okay, that's fine. Sorry in that sin, but you know, I don't want to upset you or anything like that. Well, remember the watchman in Ezekiel? Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Can we give people warning? Do we have the word of God? Yea, verily. And look what he said here. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to preach that word. He wants us to go, you know, to the flea market and tell people. He wants us to knock on doors and hand stuff to people and say, hey, come to our gospel meeting. We're preaching the truth. We study the Bible and such like that. We have just got to tell people this. You know, whether they come or not, whose problem is that? Well, it's their problem. You know, they need to come. And we need to, you know, not, you know, stick pins in them or something like that. We don't need to offend them, but you know, we need to invite people. This is our job, the judge of the church, you know, to preach the word, to make sure we're preaching the word here, you know, the right word of God. You know, we must know, I mean, we got to know it in our heads that God hates sin so absolutely and so implacably. I mean, he won't be persuaded otherwise. Sin, bad, always, never changes. God feels this way about sin, so that we will strive to keep sin out of our lives and out of the lives of our brothers and sisters. That then is why this hate, this hatred of sin is essential, for without it we'll have a lackadaisical, you know, ho-hum, not really important, tolerant attitude towards sin. And guess what? That's the deceitfulness of sin and Satan. You know, we'll think ourselves into fooling, you know, we'll fool ourselves into thinking that God feels this way. That it's, oh, it's not really so bad. You know, I was just kidding. You know, this baptism thing is good. If you do that, I'll give you a little check mark. And, you know, and you go to gold, you'll get a gold crown up here instead of a silver one. Isn't that the way it is? You know, if you got sin, you don't go. Period. And it's sin that keeps people from this. It's sin that keeps us. And we need to have compassion in our brothers and sisters, you know, to exhort them. And guess what we need? We need our brothers and sisters exhorting us, pointing out to us, yeah, bro, I didn't see you in the assembly. Boy, sorry you missed that gospel meeting. It was really good. You know, do you need a ride? Can we get you there some way? You know, these are the things that we need to do. We need to have this compassion on one another. You know, we'll think, we'll not work to pull our brothers and sisters from sin as God had commanded to. And many will die in the church if we don't hate sin. And we must always be aware and watchful for it, because it's everywhere. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know what that word circumspectly means? Circum, right? Spectly, looking. Looking all around. You know, how does a fool walk? Well, I'm just sort of tripping down here. Oh, I didn't see that over there. You know, when we're walking, we need to watch for sin. You know, it's all around. We need to watch our back. Fighter pilots say, check your six. You know, they look back to the 6 o'clock position, because that's where the enemy likes to sneak up. You think Satan's going to say, okay, I'm Satan, I'm coming at you. No, he's going to come at us from some other direction. So we need to walk circumspectly, looking all around as he would have us to do. Well, look around for what? Well, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire. And what is Satan's tool? What does he use? How does he devour us, consume us? Well, it's through our desires. Desires that are contrary to God and to God's will. You know, the things of the world, the pride of life, you know, the things that we lust after. And it can be, you know, well, I just really like for everybody to like me. So I'm never going to say anything bad to anybody. You know, I'm never going to, you know, point out something they're doing wrong. I'm just not going to do that. You know, these desires that we have are bad, because guess what those desires lead us to? Then when lust hath conceived, King James calls it lust, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. How do we get rid of our sin? Well, remember, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But it's more than just what? Confession of our sins, isn't it? That means by which we get rid of sin. Jesus had to die on the cross, right? To redeem us from our sins. And we have to have faith also, don't we? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it says, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, we have to have faith in God. We need to believe in God. And at some point, there is that time when he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, if we confess them. But is that all? Is something else needed? No, we know that Jesus is needed, and our faith in him is needed to have this forgiveness. Well, how do we show our faith? By merely stating a belief, saying, yes, I believe in God. And I'll say it real loud. I believe in God. Hallelujah. I believe in God. Is that how we show our faith? What do you have to say quietly? I believe in God. No, there's more than that there. I mean, there are ones that did. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith through that works is dead? You know, the devils believe in God. They know who Jesus was. Have you come to torment us before the time? You know, truth, faith is evidenced. It's shown by something. It's shown by our obedience, as Jesus told us. I mean, this is the evidence, the way that we show our faith. Not with words. Yeah. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if you're looking to argue with that, you might say, well, he didn't say you didn't have to, you know, not baptized. No, but what is baptism? Baptism is the answer. It's how we say, yes, Lord, I believe, through obedience to that. It's the answer required from God, by God. It's the answer that comes from our conscience, from our consciousness that there is sin, that there is a God, and that if we have sin, we're going to die, that God will cast us away. We can't be with Him. And when we have that awareness, what do we do? Well, just like those people in Acts said, Lord, you know, men of brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And just as Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You know, it's this mind that we have to have. And look what he says here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh. You know, it's not bath. You know, it's not that water. But it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. This is the answer that we make to God saying, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he came to this world, he died to wash away our sins, and that we come into contact with that blood of his that washes away our sins in the waters of baptism, as God would have us to do. It says, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism puts us into Christ. In Ephesians, he says, they're all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, how do we get in there? Well, he tells us in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptized into Christ. Find the same thing in Romans chapter 6, you know, that we're baptized into. Only way to get into Christ is that way. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. And if we've sinned after we've been baptized, after we're in Christ, then we have those spiritual blessings that if we confess what? He is faithful and just to forgive us, but only then, not before. So tonight, if there's anyone here that needs to respond to that, this is the Word of God, that is the gospel, the good news, that our sins can be washed away and that we can live with Him. Let us know as we stand and sing.